people a couple more minutes to come in. Do you want to leave this on? Is that going to create a problem with both microphones near each other? There we go. All right. Well, good morning. How are you all today? I just heard a statistic this morning that when we have daylight savings and you spring ahead, which means we lose an hour of sleep, we have to leave the bars, or we lose an hour of sleep, that there are 27% more heart attacks on today. And then you'd think that's an odd thing, but then conversely, in the fall, when we gain an hour, there's actually 21% fewer heart attacks. So I told the guys during prayer, we're watching to see who is that going to be that person for us here today. Hopefully nobody, but just in case. So if you would, go to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to be starting there. We'll come back from time to time, but then also in the pinky, get Numbers 13, and the finger next to the pinky, get Numbers 14. All right, we're going to be flipping around. The reason the service is different today, I'm disappointed John didn't have more time because he gave me some great illustrations last time I was here when he talked about his hunting prowess. I was hoping to pick up a little tidbit of something, although I did learn something about travel and getting time off this morning during prayer, but I'll let John share that with you later. We have lunch bunch today. Next couple weeks, we're going to be off because of spring break. Except for the teams that are still in season, most of our athletes will be gone. And so I hate missing that. I want to be a blessing to you guys if I can, help fill your pulpit, and hopefully bring you something from the Word. So I asked the guys if we could rearrange the service so I can get back home to see the athletes. We had 24 last Sunday. So we had quite a full room. So let me just give you a little update. We on there, guys? There we go. Just give you a little update. Just since I was here last, the bottom right picture is our 24 group from last week. That was a fun day. Kept Mama hopping in the kitchen. And out of that, we had three or four first-time visitors. So again, we're seeing that the students are catching more of a vision for reaching out to their teammates and not just us trying to initiate things. So since I was here last, top left, we started a Bible study with the hockey team, and we've had 10, as many as 10 for that. That's been a blessing. Last year, we started prayer with the hockey team before their home games, and we had a high of 14. That's half the team came out to pray before they played. And so that's our Bible study that we got started. And then about 3 to 4 weeks ago, Lily, top right, she's a gymnast, competed yesterday. She won the bar routine. They had their regionals. We had like 7 or 8 teams come to our school. They rotate around. She is an excellent athlete. She probably would have been an All-American last year. But in November, she broke her wrist and kept playing because they told her it was just ligaments. And they found out in May when she had to have surgery. So, but she played through, obviously did not become an All-American with that kind of an injury. But she's on pace to become All-American this year. So last year, even as a lost young lady, she started coming to Jan's Bible study and then also doing discipleship, one-on-one discipleship with Jan. And so she just got saved 3.5-4 weeks ago. And then Mitch, down here on the left, Mitch transferred in. He's a graduate student. He played 4 years at Elmira College and then decided to do his grad work here at Brockport. So he transferred in, still had eligibility. So he played this year and started coming to prayer. So what happens is, as I see the guys at prayer, it's an easier transition to, hey, I see you coming to prayer. Would you like to get together, do lunch, and see where they're at spiritually? So Mitch came to the Bible study. He's got the gray sweater on the right, second one there on the right, came to Bible study, came to prayer, about probably a month ago, went out for our first time. And if you've ever led somebody to Christ, you know the most challenging part of that is saying, would you like to pray? Because you can't see everything in the head, you can't see everything in their heart, and sometimes there's a lot of people that are unfortunately thinking they're saved because they said a prayer. And a prayer doesn't save somebody. And so that's a real nerve-wracking time for us, is whether they, you know, understand and everything. So it went very, very well with him. So I was talking to him at the end of the season, and I said, hey, why don't we get together again? That's good. And he said, well, I might be leaving a week from them Monday to go pro. He's actually now has joined a professional team. So we got together last Monday night, a week ago before he left, and he got saved. So just since we were here, we've seen two saved. I got a Bible study started, and then, of course, our lunch bunch today. So just wanted to give you a little bit of an update of what's going on. We thank you again for your support, making all this possible. And we've had people tell us, well, you know, why don't you just go work another job? As flexible as we need to be for the athletes, that would be very challenging to work another job. So we want to thank you for making that possible. All right, so Joshua chapter 14, like I said, we're also going to be back and forth into Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. But what we're going to do is talk about Caleb today. Of course, Caleb is known in Scripture for being one of the two spies that went into the Promised Land that brought back a good report. Who was the other one? Joshua and Caleb. So they sent 12 spies in. Moses, at God's direction, sent them in to check out the Promised Land, to see what it was like and everything. And what happened was the spies went in with the idea that they were supposed to determine if it was God's will to go into the land. And it wasn't. They were the recon team. They were the SEAL team. They were the Delta. They were the Rangers. And the only thing that they were tasked with doing was find out the best way to take the land. And they went in, and they thought it was their job to determine what the will of God is. Now, will that preach just in and of itself? So many times God gives us opportunities, and we look at it and say, it can't be done, it's not the right time, I'm not the right person. And it's not our job to determine what the will of God is. What God will do is give us insight into things so we know how to do it the best way possible. So the 12 spies went in. Of course, if you know the song, 12 went down to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What did they see when they got to Canaan? You see why nobody asked me to lead singing when I go to other churches. So 12 of the guys came back and said, nope, no way, ain't going to happen. I'm not taking the trash out tonight. I'm not going to vacuum. I'm not going to do the dishes. There's just no way I'm going to do that. God can't get us in the land. And then Caleb and Joshua said, no, God can get the job done. So we're going to look at the passage here in Joshua 14, where the children of Israel have now conquered the inhabitants of the land. They wandered for how long in the wilderness? Do you remember? 40 years. Do you know why they wandered for 40 years? They didn't trust God. And how many days did they inspect or spy out the land? 40 days. God punished them a year for every day of their unbelief. It's kind of steep. Now, prophetically, we won't get into it. Prophetically, that's very profound in judging when the second coming will happen and everything else. But we'll get into that another time. So they have to wander for 40 years. So now, once they get into the land, it takes about 5 years for them to conquer the land. You know, the inhabitants didn't all just lay down. You know, oh, okay, this is the will of God. We'll just give you the land. Come on in. Coffee's on. Croissant should be done shortly. Let's have a little snack. No. So we are now 45 years after the spies went in and spied out the land, And Caleb now is asking for the inheritance that was promised to him 45 years earlier. So let's take a look here, Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord sent unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's pray. Father, this is a great story of a young man that courageously believed you and followed what you had demonstrated and dictated, children of Israel, was your will. So, Lord, as we look at Caleb's life, I pray you give us insight into it, the things that he endured and the things that happened to bring this story about. Help us to make personal application here, Lord, that you would speak to us this day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me just give you, I love doing the geography because it just helps people understand what's going on. The children of Israel are down in this area here. This is the Sinai Peninsula. After they crossed the Red Sea to get in here, they're hanging out down here. And then Moses says, send 12 spies up into the land. This is what we know as Israel today. He says, send 12 spies up into the land and figure out what's the best way to perform the will of God. So they leave from here and they get up into this area here, and Caleb really likes this area. And that turns out to be where Judah, the tribe of Judah, would get their inheritance. But this is so they started from down here, went all the way up through the land, and then came back 40 days later. So how, as a young man, you say, well, he was 45. But remember, they lived a little longer back then. 45 then is the new 25, shall we say that. If you take the number of years that that generation lived, he's about a 25, compared to today, about a 25-year-old young man. I know Joshua lived to 110. It does not say how old Caleb was when he died. So you figure this guy is in his mid-20s comparatively. We compare our generation, how long we live, and how long they lived. But look at the commitment. Twice it says here in verse 8, and then verse 8. I know it says, I wholly followed the Lord. And then verse 9 as well, he wholly followed the Lord his God. So what is interesting about Caleb is he was the representative for the tribe of Judah, but he wasn't from that tribe. Isn't that wild? So his father is Jephunneh, who was a Kenizzite. Kenizzites were not part of Israel. The Kenizzites, if you go back just a little above there where we saw Kadesh Barnea from where they started, they were already in the land. So he somehow, think about this, someone from outside of Israel was selected to represent the tribe of Judah to go in and spy out the land, and he wasn't one of the locals. He wasn't the big kahuna. He wasn't the guy with the biggest ranch or had the most money or had this spiritual lineage. So how does... Now there's somebody else that comes from Judah. I can't quite remember his name. Help me out, somebody. Somebody say it. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So how does somebody... Judah was the tribe that lasted the longest spiritually. If you know the history, in 721 B.C., the 10 northern tribes, when there was a split after Solomon's son Rehoboam was a bozo, he split the kingdom, 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes. The 10 northern tribes never followed the Lord. Never. They never, throughout their history, never had a good king. They never had a spiritual movement. So they went into captivity in 721 B.C. The 2 southern tribes, Judah and Simeon, they lasted until the first deportation to Babylon, which was 606 B.C. They still, even with that, didn't get their act together. 2 more times Babylon came in, and the final deportation was 586 B.C. But you can see they lasted about 140 years longer than the northern tribes. So Judah had a spiritual base to it. So how does a guy from outside of Judah get in on the goods? This is like somebody, who's your big football rivalry here? Elba versus Oakfield. Okay. It'd be like, some guy from Oakfield, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson. Okay, just pick one. Okay, Oakfield. We'll go with Oakfield. So some guy from Oakfield moves in here and within 3-4 months becomes a deacon. You're like, he doesn't. So how? How does someone like Caleb get influenced to that degree that the children of Judah pick? There's somebody else I know that wasn't part of an organization that got into the organization. Oh yeah, the Bride of Christ. We were, as Gentiles, we were grafted in. We're not from Israel. But yet, here we are as outsiders to Israel, God's chosen nation. We get in on the blessing. We get in on eternal life just as Caleb got in to represent Judah, we get in to represent Jesus Christ, and we're not a Jew. Pretty wild, huh? So who influenced him? He had this obscure past. He's not from there. Technically not from Judah. He's just, we don't know. Nothing is mentioned about him, his father, or his tribe before now. So you talk about boring. Nobody's killing lions with their bare hand or, slaying 100 enemies. Nothing. But he gets in. So what do you think happened? So here's what I think. Number one, what influenced him to get to this point? First of all, I think it's the tribe of Judah itself. As I said, they lasted the longest spiritually. Now, they eventually did go into apostasy. Out of all of Judah's kings, half were good, half were bad. Some followed the Lord, some did not. But overall, Judah had a spiritual component to their lives. So it's important that we realize the people we surround ourselves with will have some kind of impact on us. So I wonder if his family, the Kenizzites, looked at Judah and said, we see that they have some kind of relationship with the Lord, so we're gonna be part of that. So we'll get to his parents in a second. But the tribe of Judah, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Now, we say that to our younger people, make sure who you hang out with. But I think a lot of us could use that advice as well. I want you to see something here at Ephesians chapter 4. This is the passage where Paul writes to them and gives them the reason for church officers. All right, and here we see in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some what? Pastors and What for? Why are those offices there? For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So remember those three things. The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, who is your pastor? Okay, so this doesn't apply to us. Okay, let's go. Okay, all right, don't get spiritual on me. Okay, look, I got to leave early. I'm not going to be here to hear you talk about me. So just wait till I can stick around next time. All right, so let's take a look. Just five verses later, from the offices we heard about in 4:11, I want you to see what's in Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, what? Fitly joined together. What was the first thing that a pastor, teacher, evangelist was supposed to do? The perfecting, the unifying, the maturing of the saints. Notice it says here, the whole body, what? Fitly joined together. And compacted that by that which, what? Every joint. You know from 1 Corinthians 12 that God likens the body of Christ to the human body, you know. I've always wanted to answer Paul. He says, well, if all were the eyes, where were the smelling? I have some suggestions, you know, but we won't get into that today. But I want you to see that the first thing that the pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets were supposed to do was perfect the saints, make them fitly joined together and compacted by that which what? Every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth. Because we may not have someone here on a permanent basis does not give us a release from doing what God wants us in the church to do. Look, let's go on. According to the effectual what? Working. What did it say back in verse 12? For the work of the ministry. Oh, so wait a minute. Effectual working in in the measure of what? Every part, not just the officers, every one of us, every one of us, maketh increase of the body unto the what? Edifying of itself. Itself. What was the third thing that a pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet was supposed to do was to edify the body. See, we all have the same responsibilities that a pastor, elder, bishop, whatever it may be called, and I know you guys call him pastor, but we all have the same responsibility. So maybe one of the influences on Caleb wholly following the Lord was just the group of people he surrounded himself with. So I want to encourage you to continue to do that for each other. Next, parental influence. We know from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, we're supposed to teach them diligently, talk about the words of the Lord, his commandments, talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou rise. You're supposed to be talking. What an influence parents have. You see these states now that are saying that children belong to the state. Whoa. No, they don't. Children are God's heritage given to their parents. Parents, man, I want my kid to wholly follow the Lord. I'd suggest, if you're not doing it, Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. The scriptures need to be talked about all the time. And may I also add, maybe you're here as a grandparent, maybe some great-grandparents, not sure. What an influence you can have on your grandkids. They're not a pain. You know, and I know it's nice, we've got two now. You know, you can hand them back when you're done, and they do the diapers and feed them. But I mean, what an influence, what an opportunity to have an influence on that little person that they would grow up and wholly follow the Lord. So maybe it was just the tribe of Judah, you know, that there was a spiritual component to them, and they thought, you know, this is the best place to raise our kids. Maybe it was the parents themselves, or maybe the third person is Joshua. Remember, it was Caleb and Joshua. Bible tells us, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We also know that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's very interesting that Joshua goes on to become the leader 45 years earlier. Joshua goes on to become the leader of Israel after Moses' death. So just the fact of having good friends will have a tremendous impact on how each of us turn out. All right, so go back to Numbers chapter 14. Is this one mine in the pulpit? Okay, thank you. Because whatever one you gave me before, I have no idea what I did with it. But thank you. All right. Numbers chapter 14. So here's our next question. We're going to see a passage that tells us how much of a negative influence the 10 spies had on the rest of Israel. Was it the will of God to go into the promised land? Did God drag them out of Egypt just to have them wander around the rest of their lives? No. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them in to the promised land. So it was the will of God. But yet these 10 spies had such a negative, I want you to see the negative impact that they had on the nation of Israel. So Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Let me get there. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. This is Caleb speaking. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Ooh, brave, right? So this great statement of faith, how did they want to reward him? Look at verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Hey, man, I just love your faith walk. I watch you. I hear your stories of interacting with lost people and at work and within your family, and you know how you stepped out by faith and did something financially and how God blessed. I'd like to kill you. Okay. Now, does anybody know where that theory thought, where that started? That was the Garden of Eden. Because Abel's sacrifice was accepted of God. And what about Cain's? God said, no, that's not the right set. There's no blood. All you did, go to Wegmans and buy a flat of vegetables. There's no blood in that offering. He goes, sin lieth at the door. And he gave Cain a chance to get right. And Cain said, I don't want to deal with God, but I'm going to do what? Kill my brother. I think one of the things that hurts a church is when spiritual envy is how we judge each other. I don't like their spirituality. They think they're holier than thou. I don't like their tradition or their standards. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kill you spiritually. We've got to be very careful of that. So here, Joshua and Caleb, they're going, that this is nothing for God. God can do this. And they wanted to stone him. So I want you to think about a 25-year-old standing up for God, so much so that the people wanted to stone him. That's rough. I have never been threatened with death for giving out the gospel or for my Christian walk. Maybe it's not good as good as it should be. But I have never been to the point of someone wanting to kill me. Now, thoughts run through our heads. I won't get the promotion. I won't be liked as much at work or school or in the family or on the team. You know, if I don't go along, the guys are going to, you know, blackball me in the locker room and they're not going to treat me well and I'm going to... But none of us that I know of, no one's told me their testimony, has faced death. So how, 45 years later, after they wanted to kill him, how does he end up getting the promise that Moses gave him when they went in and searched out the land? So I'd like to look at that. How does a young man like this make such a strong stand in the face of being killed? First of all, he rested in God's power. Numbers chapter 13, if you'll flip over there. Numbers chapter 13, verse 28. Bad morning. I actually left the house, got about 5-8 minutes away, and realized I left my notes home. So I had to go back. That's why everybody was panicking when I wasn't here at my usual early time. But I also forgot that I brought notes. Would anybody like to, pass them out for me? Here, wait, let's get the young people involved. No, don't put your hand up. All right, we're going to let the young people get involved. Would you guys do that for me? Thank you very much. But nice try. Mother's Day is coming. We'll let it go then. All right, I apologize. So much going on. I leave Wednesday to travel with the baseball and softball teams to Florida. So we've obviously are flying crazy, getting ready, and totally forgot I had an outline just to make it a little easier for you. So just to give you the first blanks, first was Judah's influence. Number two was the parents' influence. Number three was Joshua's influence. All right? All right. Thank you for passing them out. All right, so how was he able to stand? Let's take a look here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 28. He rested in God's power. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are the big giants. That was the first version of the NBA. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites in the mountains, the Canaanites, the Gazuntites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Sometimes people that live by faith are accused of looking through rose-colored glasses. Do you see the glass half full or half empty? I don't care who's buying. That's what I want to know. If I don't have to pay for it, I'll take half a glass. If I'm buying, I want a full glass. But so many times, people that live by faith, we see them weather these storms and go through difficult times, and we say, "Don't you see the seriousness of this? Don't you realize how bad this situation? You have got to wake up to how rough we're going to have it." Caleb doesn't ignore the facts. He names the Anakims. He names all these other tribes and cities that they have to go against. He doesn't ignore what the problems are. He just looks at them through a different set of lens. He looks at it with a different perspective, that God's power can get the job done. How many times do we look at the circumstances rather than looking at Christ? Right? We look at the bills, we look at the health report, we look at the schedule, we look at something going on in our family, and we over stress and emphasize the circumstances and the problems, and we take our eyes off of Christ. So how does this 25-year-old, 40-year-old fella back then realize that God can take it? He's not ignorant of the problems. He names all the problems that they're going to face. And what does he say? "We are still able to possess it. We are able to overcome it." He didn't deny the truth of the circumstances, but he looked at them from a different perspective, and that was the perspective of God. So, the power of God. If you look on the screen, Psalms 59:16, "But I will sing of thy" what? "Thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. So the power and the safety and the deliverance comes from God in the midst of the trouble. Unto thee, O my what? Strength. Will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 62:11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that what? Power belongeth unto the Lord. The power doesn't come from your checkbook. The power doesn't come from your calendar. The power doesn't come from your degrees, life experience, influence, affluence. The power does not come from any of that. The power comes from God. How was Caleb able to? They want to stone him. They want to get rid of him. He's a burr in their saddle because he wants to really trust God. And yeah, it's going to take work to take the promised land, but isn't that worth it? To be where God wants him to be, where God wants us to be. So when we look at our problems, realize that it is only for an opportunity for God to demonstrate his glory. Let me show you something interesting here. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus, this is after he resurrects, he has his final message with the boys. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What's the next two things that he says? Go ye. Go ye. I don't know if you can not see that as well, but it's on your note. Oh, okay. All right. So here's another one. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's interesting, in the New Testament, when that word power is used, both by Christ and then the angels in Acts chapter 1, it is directly related to evangelism. You talk to some Christians, well, I've just never seen God come through. I've never seen that miraculous thing happen. I've never, you know... Maybe it's because we're not involved with evangelism the way we should be. God promised his power. Jesus says, all power is given unto me. And then what does he say? Go ye. Go ye. Acts 1:8, the angels. What are you guys standing around looking up into heaven? Well, that's where we saw him go. Hey, he's going to give you power. Now go be a witness. You want to see the power of God? Stick your neck out evangelistically. Just stick your neck out. Man, I don't know. He's the big kahuna at work. I don't know how he's going to respond to the gospel. That's not faith. That is not faith, having that attitude. Man, if I witness to her and she starts talking about me, in the Red Hat Club, maybe you got a couple in here. All right. So if I witness to her and she takes a burn to it, I'm going to get ostracized from all this these organizations. That's not faith. Do you want to see the power of God in your life? Stick your neck out evangelistically. The two times power used in the New Testament have to do with evangelism. Man, I'm trying to listen to this thing about he rested in God's power, but I haven't seen it. Become an evangelist. And I don't mean full time. We're all, remember, the same jobs given to the pastors, teachers, everything. We have the same you don't have to be a missionary or called an evangelist. You don't have to be a Rod Whitney. You don't have, I'm an evangelist again. No, forget the titles. Just become an evangelist for the Lord. So, where are the sources of God's power? We'll move quickly here. Psalm 63, 1 and 2. Look at the end of verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee where? In the sanctuary, in the church. You ought to see God's power here. You ought to see God's power to heal relationship. You ought to see God's power to figure out your future. You ought to see God's power to provide even though you don't have somebody here on a weekly basis. And then also you see there in Matthew 22, 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the what? And then what is related with that? The power of God. See, it's the script. When I read, I was listening to the Bible coming out here this morning, and I hear these stories, and I go, man, that is God getting on it. That is God doing something special. So when I read the scriptures, I realize I see God's power in other people's lives, and that encourages me. There's nobody in the scripture different than any one of us. They were all flesh and blood, just like us. But they rested in the power of God. So what else? What else did he do? He lived in the reality of God's presence. So go over to Numbers chapter 14 again. Numbers 14. We're going to look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. That's not a consignment shop. That means they ripped them. They weren't, turning them over to get sold. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search out, it is an exceeding good land. Guys, it's worth the risk. This is an exceedingly good land. Now look at verse 8. If the what? Lord delight in us. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land. Look at verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the what? The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Look at verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. This is going, not in Numbers, but Joshua 14, 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims and the cities were fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I will drive them out. He not only rested in God's power, he lived in the realization of God's presence being with him. Did you ever think about this verse? We quote the second part, the last part of this verse. What is the part that we quote the most? I will never leave thee nor forsake. Now, praise the Lord. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Did you ever realize how impactful a verse can be when we get the whole verse or the context? Notice he says, let your conversation or your life, conversation isn't just speech in Scripture, or your life, be without what? What is that? What is covetousness? Could be jealousy, want. You just want something somebody else has, or you want something that you don't have. But notice what he says. Don't live your life full of covetousness and be content with such things ye have. Right? Now, is that just stop right there. Is that good advice? Junior, I know you want a 200cc motorbike, but we're going to have to get by with the 150. All right? Sally, I know you want this, but what we have to be content with what we have. Right? Now, that's good teaching. That's good parenting. Right? Let's see how Paul finishes the verse. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know where our contentment should come from? The fact that we have God's presence with us all the time. Yeah. How many tribes were there? 12. How many got inheritance in the land? 12. Well, eventually, this is early in that part of the story. You're right. So right now, none. They're still. No, that's all right. That's all right. So I give three. I give three strikes, just like baseball. What tribe didn't get any land? Levites. Levites. Who said Levites? Okay, Levites? Okay. No, it was a good answer. Shake your head. I'm the author of the amp. Very good. Nice job. All right, so why didn't they get anything in the land? Anybody know? What's that? Spiritual inheritance. The Levites, they go through. And now how did we get 12 if you take Levi out of it? Because Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, each got an inheritance. Levi does not. And you know what God said to them? I am your inheritance. Yeah, you want some land. Now, they were given cities. They didn't have to, hobo it. They weren't riding trains back and forth between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. God gave them cities, but he did not give them land to inherit like he did the other tribes, because he said, I'm your inheritance. Now, it's interesting. Peter talks about us being a royal priesthood, royalty from the king, priesthood. We are the world's intercessors right now. We are the priests that used to be in the Old Testament. We are the priests now that are God's intercessors with this world to bring them the gospel and teach them about God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yeah, that's cool. You need to be content with my presence, God says. Wow. How does a young man like this go against that kind of hostility and hatred and wanting to kill him? Because he realized that God was with him. You know what? We are indestructible until God is done with us. It is such a blessing to know that nothing happens to me that did not first pass through God's hands. I don't like everything that happens to me, but I rest in the fact that God's presence is always with me, and if anything happens to me, God allowed it. Yes, it may have been authored by the devil, but God allowed it, just as with Job. So, let me show you this passage. You remember when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is the man, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and that's a huge thing. Think about leading 2.5 million people. That's daunting, isn't it? You think about the organization. Out of that, there's probably 1.5 million kids. Are we there yet? Can you just imagine the travel issues that they had trucking around the desert? So this is what Moses says. Look at Exodus 33:13. Now therefore, Moses speak, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, what does he ask for? Show me now thy way. Now, is that a bad question? I mean, wouldn't we do it? You know, Matt, why are you packing the car? Oh, we're going to take off for a while. Where are we going? Don't ask. Oh, there's marital bliss right there for you. Right? So is it an odd question that Moses asked, show me thy way? Most of us would do the same thing, right? So he says, if I found grace, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Because we think if we know the way ahead of time, that's where our relationship with God is based. I've got to have all the facts. Give me the charts. Where's my spreadsheets? I got to get this thing all laid out and handled. Right? Isn't that us? I know it's for me. And he says, that I may know thee. You show me the way. Well, we're going to go up the mountains, we're going to go down in the valley, hopefully we'll spend some time by the river, get some fishing in. God, you just show me your way, then I'll know that I know you. Right? Isn't that us? This is nothing odd for Moses to ask for. That I might find grace in thy sight and consider this nation as thy people. Look at God's response. My presence shall go with thee. And I will give thee what? So do your charts, get your spreadsheet out, get your calendar, get the checkbook, talk to your financial planner, and all of that. And you won't get any rest from it. Right? Anybody else been there? You see the Dow this week? No, I go to the coffee shop every day. I didn't see Dow all week. Right? Right? Do all that. You won't have rest. But what does God say? My presence will be with you. And then I will give you what? my rest. See, folks, we face great difficulties in this life. If we're trying to just figure out the way and put it down on paper, something we can explain to others, then we think we're going to get rest from that. God says, no, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So how does a guy like Caleb end up in a position like this? First of all, who influenced this young man that he would wholly follow the Lord? Was it just being involved with the tribe of Judah, his church family? Was it his parents or grandparents? Was it Joshua, that best friend that always sticks closer than a brother and tries to bring God into everything they do? So how was he able to stand against people that wanted to kill him? First of all, he rested in God's power. God's going to take care of this. And then he also lived in the reality of God's presence. If God be for me, who can be against me? Thank you very much.